Chapter 46. The party, by their superior presence and their well-trained, gallant manners, were such as to make them interesting visitors now, as at all times. For it was a period when romance had not so greatly faded out of military life as it has done in these days of short service, heterogeneous mixing, and transient campaigns, when the esprit de corps was strong, and long experience stamped noteworthy professional characteristics even on rank and file, while the miller's visitors had the additional advantage of being picked men. They could not stay so long tonight as on that earlier and more cheerful occasion, and the final adieus were spoken at an early hour. It was no mere playing at departure, as when they had gone to Exonbury Barracks, and there was a warm and prolonged shaking of hands all round. "You'll wish the poor fellows goodbye?" said Bob to Anne, who had not come forward for that purpose like the rest. "They are going away, and would like to have your good word." She then shyly advanced, and every man felt that he must make some pretty speech as he shook her by the hand. "Goodbye. May you remember us as long as it makes ye happy, and forget us as soon as it makes ye sad," said Sergeant Brett. "Good night. Health, wealth, and long life to ye," said Sergeant Major Wills, taking her hand from Brett. "I trust to meet ye again as the wife of a worthy man," said Trumpeter Buck. "We'll drink your health throughout the campaign, and so goodbye, Ty," said Saddler Sergeant Jones, raising her hand to his lips. Three others followed with similar remarks, to each of which Anne blushingly replied as well as she could, wishing them a prosperous voyage, easy conquest, and a speedy return. But, alas, for that. Battles and skirmishes, advances and retreats, fevers and fatigues, told hard on Anne's gallant friends in the coming time. Of the seven upon whom these wishes were bestowed, five, including the trumpet major, were dead men within the few following years, and their bones left to molder in the land of their campaigns. John lingered behind. When the others were outside, expressing a final farewell to his father, Bob, and Mrs. Loveday, he came to Anne, who remained within. "But I thought you were going to look in again before leaving?" she said gently. "No, I find I cannot. Goodbye." said Anne, holding his right hand in both hers, "I must tell you something. You were wise in not taking me at my word that day. I was greatly mistaken about myself. Gratitude is not love, though I wanted to make it so for the time. You don't call me thoughtless for what I did?" "My dear Anne," cried John, with more gaiety than truthfulness, "don't let yourself be troubled. What happens is for the best. Soldiers love here today and there tomorrow. Who knows that you won't hear of my attentions to some Spanish maid before a month has gone by? 'Tis the way of us, you know. A soldier's heart is not worth a week's purchase, ha, ha. Goodbye, goodbye." Anne felt the expediency of his manner, received the affectation as real, and smiled her reply, not knowing that the adieu was forevermore. Then with a tear in his eye he went out of the door, where he bade farewell to the miller, Mrs. Loveday, and Bob, who said at parting, "It's all right, Jack, my dear fellow." After a coaxing that would have been enough to win three ordinary English women, five French, and 10 muleteers, she has today agreed to bestow her hand upon me at the end of 6 months. "Goodbye, Jack, goodbye." The candle held by his father shed its waving light upon John's face and uniform, as with a farewell smile he turned on the doorstone, backed by the black night, and in another moment he had plunged into the darkness, the ring of his smart step dying away upon the bridge as he joined his companions in arms, and went off to blow his trumpet till silenced forever upon one of the bloody battlefields of Spain. End of Project Gutenberg's A Text of the Trumpet Major, by Thomas Hardy. TRPMJ by Gutenberg edition.